Hello everyone, happy Friday and welcome to episode number 12 of Raw Talks podcast with me and Simba. And today we have Joan back. We will keep on digging into the nervous system, and today is like the, I don't know, it feels like the diamond of the nervous system discussion. It's this episode is called The Gift of Dissociation, because dissociation might have a little bit of a bad rep, and we're gonna talk a little bit about what dissociation really is and how it is very it's a very good thing that the body has the dissociation. And we will also go through the polyvagal curve. So if you are listening on maybe Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can shift to YouTube so you will see the curve. But if you want to. All right. So welcome, Simba and Joan.
Thank you. It's great to be back with you both, all three of you, two of us. Oh, dear heavens. How grounded am I right in the moment?
The three of you and the two of us.
Exactly. Here we are. Let's start again. It's great to be with you both.
Amazing. Yeah. So today we will talk about dissociation. So maybe I give the... No, we said that Joan, because we said you will talk, you start, because me and Simba, we can talk all day about this, and people have heard us talk about it, and that's why you're on in the first place, so we can have a perspective.
Great. So Simba, are you going to show the polyvagal curve?
I will do that now.
Okay, whoever's doing that. Yeah, all right, Sarah, great. Just give a moment to bring it up.
Here we go.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. So I'm some of the folks that are listening to this probably have seen this before, I understand, and maybe are a bit familiar with the polyvagal curve. So, and for some, you may not know anything about it. So this is why I will go through it, because it actually provides the context and an understanding of our autonomic nervous system and how dissociation or freeze actually fits into our system's response or defense response. And so if we look at this, what we call curve, polyvagal curve, you're gonna see where there's the green zone, and it's called the social engagement nervous system. And it is actually part of our nervous system that's called the ventral vagal nervous system. And it's actually a part of our system that is in some ways pretty new in our own understanding of our autonomic nervous system. And it actually developed in us humans much later in our development as human beings. And it's actually the place where most people want to live. It's the place where we all want to be. It's where we are connected to ourselves. We're connected to others. It's a place where we experience our, what we might call groundedness. We feel mindful, we feel our emotions, so we can, you know, it's actually where we want to be most of the time. And in this, the key to the social engagement nervous system is we can only be here when we feel safe. And that's the critical part of the social engagement nervous system, because when we're safe, we then have the capacity to access all of us. We're not in a defensive response, and we're able to access most of all who we are. And this is what people, they want to do yoga for and mindfulness practices and all the practices that we're seeing today and people are involving themselves in, is really their desire to spend more time in their body, connected with themselves and in relationship with others. So that's what we call the green zone. Now, what happens is when we experience some kind of threat, and when I mean threat, it doesn't necessarily mean a physical threat, although it certainly can mean a physical threat. It also can be a social threat, a threat to our ego or threats to our relationships or to our work. And so when we are in that, when we start to move into that state, we then move into what's called the sympathetic nervous system, which is our fight flight response. And so as you can see here, the flight response, and you can't really read it, but it's pretty small, but it actually ranges. It actually is our desire to get away from, is to flight. And the emotions around that include things like becoming worry and concern and anxiousness and anxiety. And eventually at the very top of that scale, at the very top of the red is panic. Whereas fight response, as you can see, is from frustration to rage. And that response is really protective. We either are going to run away. If we can't run away, then we'll move into fight. Although what's interesting is sometimes people automatically go to one or the other. They have a neural pathway that's already been developed that they always seem to go right into fight or right into flight. But typically, people might go into flight and into fight, or in and out of both, flight or fight. Now, when fight and flight doesn't help us, when that threat is still there, and we're unable to either run away or fight, we then go into what's called the freeze response. And that's the blue zone at the top. And this is the zone where we go into numbness or dissociation, disconnection. And it's in that freeze response that we are no longer able to connect with our own bodies potentially, or connect with outside of us. And it's actually preparation for dealing with pain or death, actually. Freeze response shows up in, for example, animals, mammals, when they're trying, when fight and flight doesn't work, they're trying to get away from a predator, they often will go into a freeze, act as if they're dead. And predators, like wild animals, don't want to, don't like to have dead meal. They want to have their, they want to capture the animal alive. So when they go into the freeze response, what happens there is their heart rate goes down, their blood pressure goes down. They move into absolute stillness. The body maybe even come rigid, and the animal who's pursuing it thinks that animal is dead, and they'll leave them alone. They'll walk away. So in humans, the very same thing can happen, but on a very graduated scale to this. And sometimes people can go into that ultimate freeze of a full body freeze, just like animals do, in preparation for being really, really going into pain or going into potentially death. And so what happens biochemically in the freeze response is our brains give us, we produce our own opioids. And so the opioids take over in our brain and our brain chemistry. And as a result of that, it enables us to be able to manage pain, and actually sometimes can feel actually quite good. As you know, opioids is a good feeling drug. And so we almost get drugged from the opioids. And so that's an important thing to remember, that it's a biochemical response in the body, because it does create create symptoms that are similar to being somewhat drugged. So as you can see then, so there, as I said earlier, there is a continuum in the dissociative freeze response. And one is numbness, and oftentimes people will feel numb emotionally, physically can feel numbness in the body. The breath rate lowers, the person's heart rate goes down, their blood pressure may drop. All these kinds of physiological responses happen in the body. So when does that happen? When we're under a serious threat, a threat that we feel could be, life ending, whether it's socially or physically, and It also occurs when we feel powerless or helpless to do anything. We're no longer able to take any kind of action, and the body takes over and it moves into this kind of response. Now, the thing is with this dissociative response is that when we disconnect from our emotions, we can disconnect from our physical body. We can actually disconnect from our memories and our mind. And as a result of that, we then are in full protection. We're being fully protected to something that is so overwhelming that the mind, the body, and the nervous system is needing to protect us from. And so that's when I say, when we say it's the gift of dissociation, is that when we're in experiencing something so overwhelming that, you know, it actually protects us, and it protects us sometimes for a very long time, maybe forever, in terms of not having access to the memories, to whatever that experience might have been. It can protect us from feeling pain, feeling either emotional pain or physical pain. The downside of the gift, because there's always benefits and drawbacks to our gifts, is that it also gets in the way of us truly living life, living the fullness of our life. If we can't feel, if we can't remember past experiences, both the joyful and sometimes the painful experiences, if we feel disconnected from ourselves and from others. And so that there is a gift in the dissociation when we absolutely need it because we're under such threat. The downside is it's not a gift if we're living with it every day in our lives and we're living with the symptoms of that dissociation in our lives. So I think maybe I'll stop there and we can have some more conversation. Yeah. I know both you, Sarah, you and Simba are well-versed in the polyvagal theory.
Yeah, what I feel is very interesting about this is that it's designed for us to be in that state for short periods of time.
Yes.
Like when something dramatic happens or that there's a threat to our life in, or the ego or like, but it's supposed to be temporary. Mm-hmm. And what I feel is, and so when people hear this explanation, they feel like, okay, well, I've never been close to death, so yeah, that's not me. And what is interesting about this is that the way that we live our lives and the way that the society, like most parts of the society is designed, is super activating. Mm-hmm. So what happens is that people are living from massive amount of activation that they're not really aware of. And then if you add on like a couple of different experiences from childhood and that you never really recovered from or didn't have like a super safe environment growing up, and they're like, yeah, but nothing really happened when I was like, this is super common when I work with my clients. They're like, I don't understand why I'm having all these problems because nothing happened. I can't remember that something happened. And I mean, I wasn't beaten or I wasn't like all these massive things. But what I feel is not so official is that the activation in the nervous system comes from very little. And and when you live in today's society with the pressure of work, paying bills, getting to the kids to school on time, like arguing with the kids in the morning, and then like relationships, and you have to have a beautiful home, and then you have to look good, and you have to exercise, and it's just like, it's just run and run and run and run and run. And then this activation is all the time. Mm-hmm. And then as a response to that, because we can't live like that. The body doesn't want to do that. So then it slowly starts to move up in the blue zone. And so I love the what you say sometimes, Simba, that it's like highly functional blue zoners. like that society is full of highly functional blues owners, because, and that's when people say like, yeah, if you go to the subway, you see, it's just like zombies. They just like, you know, on another day to work. It's like you're in your life, but you're living from the blue zone. And that's 100% what I did. I mean, I mentioned that before we went into this episode, like that it feels like we're disconnected. I felt like I was living in a bubble. I felt like I was just watching a movie that I wasn't really part of ever. And I think that was one of the main reasons that I did so much drugs and alcohol, because that was the only way that, and drugs and alcohol, what do? They go to the nervous system. I mean, I remember learning that in school, you know, that the drugs were working on the nervous system.
Yeah.
So it just makes so much sense. And yeah, so I went to see my psychiatrist, who I went to for 7 years. And I said on the first session, I feel like I'm living in a bubble. But nobody worked on the nervous system. We just talked.
Yeah.
So it's very, very interesting that it doesn't have to be this dramatic experience. It nowadays is just a result of life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think what you're talking about, there's two kinds of sort of triggers to it. One is a shock experience, having a huge shock experience, car accident, death of someone. And that shock experience is an experience of dissociation. Suddenly you can't, you know, you just lose contact, you lose connection. And if you've had that experience where you've been in some event where you've gone into shock, then that's a freeze response, which often people may, you know, sometimes people may come out of that just naturally. Mm-hmm. Other times they may not. And that shock experience is still stuck in their nervous system. And so there's that kind of experience. There's also, as you're describing, the everyday life experiences of high degrees of stress and traumatic experiences that have occurred over long periods of time, potentially. Isn't a one-off experience, but you live in it. I was just thinking, you know, children, little children, an experience for them that could be traumatizing could be as simple as, you know, a snake coming across in front of them, and they get overwhelmed by it. Like, you can see children's level of being able to cope. Like, there's small things from an adult perspective that can overwhelm a child's nervous system. And oftentimes, a lot of times, we're looking at an accumulation of both childhood experiences and then longer term experiences in our life, or the shock life experiences, and they accumulate. And that accumulation is what causes, as adults, us to be living very much at that high level on that sympathetic nervous system and or living in that freeze response. So you're right. People often have no idea what is triggered this kind of response or defense. But it is life, generally in life, you can't live life without having experiences that activate your nervous system.
No, it's what we live from every day. I mean, it's what you mentioned. It's what gets us out of bed in the morning.
Yes, exactly.
So what's happening is exactly what you say, is that we accumulate, and it starts so early because people have no idea about this, and you know, like, children are so vulnerable and they need a lot of safety, and when we don't get that, and then
I mean,
it took me a long time to understand what, like, how my life had actually affected me, so I could and I realized it doesn't take very much. That's what I, and that was like a wow for me, like, oh, okay.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that the relational relationships at, you know, very young at age with your parents or caregivers, and the amount of safety people experience in those relationships, or lack of safety, is a key factor that we don't even consider or think. We were looked after, we were fed, and we were, you know, we had parents that we know loved us. all these, or didn't, but, or you perceive they didn't. But the truth is that our relational connection is a big factor in eventually over time going into these responses, because we do go into that dissociative response when we are feeling unsafe.
Yeah.
And highly unsafe, right?
Yeah.
And for some, it doesn't take much, because they're so living so high on that curve already with all the stressors of life and the accumulation of stress. And then some little thing occurs, or a small, what they perceive as a little thing, and suddenly, boom, they're up in that blue zone.
Yeah.
And it isn't necessarily the degree of that event, it's the accumulation that has caused them to go there.
Yeah, it's like, oh, but that wasn't a big thing. It's like, yeah, but it was the accumulation. Yeah. Sinbad, you want to get on stage?
Yeah, please.
Yes, cool. That's was my key to dissociation, right?
Cool.
Why am I listening to you? Why are you talking about this subject when the teacher was starting talking about something? And I was starting to feel frustrated because I couldn't understand it, and I asked questions, and they was like, no, you have to understand it this way. This is the way you have to do it. This is the way life is. And I couldn't manage that frustration that came up from that. So, you know, I was just sitting in school and looking at the wall and visioning little goblins jumping around and such. Like, it was creating a lot of, or working with a lot of, how can I say it? Creating a lot of abilities or refining skills of creativity, fantasy, being very creative and thinking outside the box, but I didn't have the capacity to bring it back here because I was way out as I was doing it. And that I remember was a big part when I was in school. If I was connected to a teacher, if they cannot explain why do you need to know this, how can you apply it into your life? How does this come across? If I could see that ambition and connection in them, then I was the best in that subject in school, right? I learned it. I was the best one. But if there was no connection from the teacher, I would just sit there and blue zone the whole class. And one can say it wasn't traumatic. It was just a boring class, but it was a high level of stress that couldn't go anywhere. So I was just sitting there and like, there was nowhere to go. It's not sociable, acceptable to leave because it's mandatory to be there. I can't ask these questions because I have to respect the teacher. And after a few times, they were like, now you need to be silent. Stop asking the questions. You're interrupting the class for everyone else. Shame. So that was kind of the scenario that, you know, I'm not saying everyone has that school experience, but that was my school experience many times. So I just found myself checking out in dissociate.
I mean, that's why it's so important. I mean, personally, I believe that kids are ruined in school. I mean, there's good schools, but the fact that you just put someone who wants to run around and play and just force them to sit still and listen to learn all the capitals in Europe, it's like... It is that frustration and that anger and that you are forced to do something, that you are controlled. I'm not saying kids shouldn't go to school, but I'm saying that it needs to be in a much, much better context, because the schools are also under, they don't get like financial funding. And this, I mean, it has been alarms about the situation in schools for decades, and like I believe that is a place where kids start to dissociate. And when you have learned that, as you said, that some people have the their program to go straight to fight, which I believe I am. but when you in school like that, you kind of get programmed to go to dissociation and start to dream, daydream, and you check out. And that's one of the responses of the dissociation, that you leave the body and that you check out and that you start to daydream. I mean, daydreaming in itself is not super dangerous, but it's about why are you doing it and how often are you doing it and why is it not comfortable to stay in the body? And that's the whole thing that we are talking about, that it starts to grow from a very young age, that we learn in, not from a good place, that we start to dissociate and then we start to live from there like early.
You know, it's really interesting. There's been some, I think it's been some research that when there's been, say, a traumatic event occur, like with a group of a classroom, in a classroom, for example, with children, what they've discovered is afterwards that the teachers and the system perceives the boys as having difficulty because they go often will go into more of the fight response, and then and that continues after the event's over. So they're the problem. The girls, on the other hand, are doing just fine.
Yeah, they go into form.
They go in, well, they go into freeze.
Yeah,
they go into freeze because they're not showing any signs or symptoms and they're just moving along, doing what they need to do, disconnected.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I think it's really interesting because we often perceive people as really grounded and present and in charge and able to, you know, are coping really well when in fact what we're what's experiencing for that person on the inside is the very opposite.
Yeah.
They appear that way on the outside, but that's not how they're experiencing their own life. They're feeling disconnected and can't access their feelings, and they're unable to, you know, even like sleeping, all kinds of symptoms show up, but it appears as if they're just doing fine. And and they get a lot of feedback. Oh, well, she's doing really well, you know. Oh, they're, that person's just lost their husband, but they're doing so well. Yeah, well, yeah, they are. But they're in their defense response that's enabling them to do well. But eventually, they need to come out of that. And when they do, they're going to come back down into the fight or flight response. We come out of the freeze. When we come out of freeze, we often will go back down into the very state that put us back up there in the first place. And so I think that's the other part of the polyvagal curve that's been really interesting, because I've often seen that in TRE, people coming out of a freeze and going into panic, for example, or going into rage. That's because they're coming down the curve.
Yeah.
And back into the state that sent them up there in the first place.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. So there's many, many ways to access the blue zone.
Yes.
But and what we see nowadays is that there's so many people living from there. And it's not only the fact that you can't experience life as, you know, as wonderful as it can be, or that you can't have highly functional relationships and that you feel disconnected to your own body and to others. It's also when, I mean, we have so much depression, and depression can also be a long-term blue zone state. But what I feel is very interesting is also that when we are not in the green zone, so when we are in the green zone, that's when all the body's self-healing mechanisms are working. We're supposed to live from there, and the body is always regenerating, always processing, always healing, healing, healing. We have millions and millions and millions of cells that is only there to regenerate other cells and to help us stay happy, healthy, and vital for a long time, and having digestion working and all of that. When we are living from either of the two zones, the activated zone or the free zone, those mechanisms are not working as well. And that's when the body starts to break down from the inside, because the cells, they don't get regenerations. And then we start to notice a lot of health issues. And there's so much studies on this. It's just extraordinary how the body is not healing itself as it should be.
Yeah, and I think the other part of that is that it's the key to this is living constantly in those states.
Yes, exactly.
Because we are designed to go up when we need to and come back down.
Yeah.
That's our natural state.
Yeah.
But when we're constantly living as we are under stress, we don't complete that. We don't go up and come back down. We just stay up in that sympathetic nervous system or into that freeze response. And living out of that place is, it affects you physically, affects you emotionally, relationally, It really is a place where that has huge impacts on us, and why it's important that we have other strategies or practices in our life to keep our nervous system from staying up there.
Yeah. So that's why it's so important that if one feels that something is not 100% aligned in their life, that nervous system is one of the key factors to look at.
Absolutely.
So what can a person do, Simba? What would you say that if someone is watching this and like, holy smokes, I'm blue zoning. What do I do?
Well, I think the first thing is to notice signs, right? Like you mentioned something early on that a lot of your clients say, oh, I lived a good life and I didn't have all these traumas. And that's kind of the story or the history of trauma that they started to study soldiers, and they call it shell shock, and it only happened to people that are in extreme situations. And then slowly they start to realize, wait a minute, all these conditions that we're putting on people, that's actually trauma, right? Like I think it was Bessel van der Kolk that wrote in The Body Keeps the Scores that they used to give people the condition like schizoaffective disorder when that was flashbacks, when people were actually coming down the system and starting to remember. So they were medicating them and saying they were crazy because they couldn't understand how it comes across. So people kind of look at it from a very, very extreme situation. And that's like a big T trauma, right? That there was a big overwhelming sensation for the system. But like I was talking to a client the other day, I said, okay, what does it mean if you don't work all the time and make a lot of money? Oh, then how am I gonna, you know, how am I gonna support myself? Oh, and if you don't get good grades in school, oh, my parents would get mad. And I started to talk to this person. And I said, okay, what does that do to your body? Stress. Do you still feel that stress? I don't know. How can you not know what you feel in your body? That's the first sign. And you're probably disconnected. When someone asks you, how do you feel? What do you notice in your body? I don't know. What am I supposed to feel? That's a disconnect already for me. I'm already.
That's what you asked me the first 3 years. Huh? That's what you kept asking me the first 3 years when we were healing together. Like, what do you feel? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I responded, what am I supposed to feel?
Yeah.
Exactly. Because it's probably not safe to be in the body. So
yeah, I had no experience of that.
No experience, no tools, no resources. So definitely to start recognize if that is something that comes up for you and that there is a wanting to get out of it, right? Because like Joan said, that's a protective mechanism. And we don't want to pull that away straight away because it is protecting us. It is a gift. But once it starts to impair your life, when, say, in relationships, intimacy gets affected, or I can't really connect to my kids, or nothing really feels fun. I made this new goal and I made this money. I did this amazing career jump and I feel empty. Nothing really feels fun, right? Like food is not taste. You know, when it starts to really affect your life in different ways, or like you mentioned with healing, you have this chronic pain that doesn't heal, or you know, this person looks super healthy, they have good muscles, everything, but you know, they're grinding their teeth, they can't really sleep. You know, the body is trying to tell us things. So I think to really become aware of the body, but with someone that can explain it from a nervous system perspective. So it's not just breathe and feel your body, because when you do that, it's easy to just slip out and disconnect. Yeah. But to be present as you actually feel your body and to have a positive experience, someone to hold a space for you, to guide you through experience like that, because that's very empowering. And then you start to really reconnect to your body. And from there, we call it follow the organism in TRE, right? We don't know where it goes. We'll follow the body and see what it tells us.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because I think that there are also strategies that people use to keep themselves dissociated. Because when they're not dissociating, they start to feel. And to come out of that dissociation means I'm willing to go through some of the pain that put me up there in the first place, to feel it, to experience it, to feel sad, or to feel things that maybe I don't want to feel. And so I think that there is that side of the becoming more grounded. You know, I remember myself in my own experience, and I was pretty dissociated probably almost from birth. I had like a birth experience where I probably, as a young child, the infant almost was pretty dissociated. So I remember living my life from the place of, I always thought there was something not quite right, but I never knew what it was.
The same for me.
And I always was happy. Everyone used to say, you're always just so happy. And I thought I was. I really did think I was. Like this was it. I smiled a lot, and so on. It was only until I started to go into a body-based kind of therapeutic work, which was, at that time, it was bioenergetics, bioenergetic analysis, psychoanalysis, that I then started to recognize that I was not in my body at all. And for the first year of the therapy that I went through, I would just ground. My therapist would get me up into my legs and help me feel my feet, get me to feel my feet, and to pump my knees a little so I could feel my legs. And I would promptly go and throw up.
Really?
gag. I wouldn't literally throw up, but I would feel nausea. And wow. I would gag and gag. I did that for about a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the beginning of an amazing journey for me back into my body. And coming back into my body was the most beautiful, most amazing experience. I remember the first time I could feel air on my skin.
Oh.
I literally felt a breeze, a warm breeze on my skin. It was amazing. And I remember I have an image of where I was, what I was doing, and I remember feeling it, and then I just started to dance. It was like an amazing experience of coming back to myself. And that took for me a long time, but the severity of my experience, it required that. But it was, I'd never changed my experience of coming back to my body in that way. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It's been beautiful. It's been wonderful. It changed my life. Totally changed everything in my life, actually.
Yeah, I feel like many people haven't had a real experience what it feels to be in the grounded. I mean, the first time that I felt like I was a 3 or a 2, I was like, wow. And I could understand what many spiritual teachers are saying, that our natural state of being is bliss. Mm-hmm. I've heard that my whole life. And I was like, what are you talking about? There is no bliss around here. Like, where's the bliss? And then I found, and once I started to get really grounded, then I was like, oh, here it is. Like, it's here. And it's right inside in of me. It's inside of me. And it's like, oh, I understand. That's when I understood how deeply affected we are from the society that we live in. Mm-hmm. That we are not walking around feeling this absolute bliss. No. We are not doing that. I know, because I felt it, and that wasn't it.
Exactly.
So really encouraging people to it's like, so I would say like this, if you're not feeling super bliss, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you put your feet on the ground and you're like, oh, thank Lord, I'm alive. This is so beautiful. Oh, look at that sky. Look at that sun. And like, oh, my beautiful husband, my beautiful children. It's like, it's a gift every day. And that's what, you know, the spiritual teachers are saying, like, waking up every day to, and it's not such a gift. And I was like, no. So if we're not doing that, then we might not be in the green zone. Because life is supposed to be that beautiful by itself, just existing. I mean, and then we're supposed to go up and down, of course, in the nervous system. But if we can't really connect to that sense of feeling, that gift, mm-hmm. then yeah, maybe that's a indication.
Yeah, or even that's a pretty big indication for sure to have that blissfulness. Other indications are, when I lose time, like, uh-oh, you know, like time has gone by and I don't know where I was.
Yeah, being in the flow, like yeah. being in a flow zone. Yeah.
Exactly. Like when suddenly, like, you know, time's gone by and I don't, or drive, I know driving's a big one for yeah. me. Like I'm driving and suddenly I said, oh my gosh, I don't remember going past the gas station I go past every day. You know, yeah. it's like I was just not totally present. So that's, you know, at one level, you know, of a loss of presence in the yeah. moment to what we've been talking about of being totally outside our bodies and not connected. So that continuum is part of that dissociative continuum that we're talking about. And the more we can practice becoming more and more present and embodied, and it's really being more embodied and more present, the more we can live out the joy of life. Yeah. As you're describing, the more we can be in touch with it, we can have access to it. And also to be even more safe. That was the other thing I realized, is that when I'm disconnected from me, I cannot tell if I'm safe or not, because yeah. I have no connection to my own emotional state. I don't know. I don't feel fear. I didn't feel anger. All these things are protective of us. So there is, you know, we think that somehow the dissociation protects us, and it does, but it also makes us unsafe. Mm. It makes us, because we don't know how to respond. We don't respond to things that normally people might respond to in yeah. terms of their own selves, right? So it's important to, and I think the other thing is that, as you say, we've been living through, like, just the last 3 years have been yeah. a really shocking yeah, yeah, yeah. experience to all yeah. of us.
Yeah.
And these last 3 years have, if we've already been living high in the curve, you know, three yeah. or 4 years ago, well, we're really up high. Yeah. And I even, my own nervous system, and I'm quite aware of my system when it's activated. Not, and I know my baseline is more activated now mm-hmm. than it was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Even though I have my practices, it's still at that higher level. So I think we're all living in that place of needing to somehow regulate our own nervous system through practices and things like TRE or yoga or meditation. As long as we are using, we're practicing them to have more presence versus to have more dissociation.
Yeah. So yeah, what would be, if people listen to this and like, okay, I feel like I'm dissociated, what do I do? Simba?
Yeah, go ahead, Simba.
Well, I mean, you can do a lot of things. I think you touched upon it to become aware of your body, right? Like if someone is asking how you feel and you always answer good, you know, that's the standard question. You know, like when we teach theory as well, like, how do you feel? You're going to get like good 99% of the time. But to be more question, what is it that I'm feeling? What is it that I'm noticing? To kind of look at body sensations like it's the first time you're experiencing them. I even tell this to people that experience pain. They have pain. Oh, I feel this pain. I feel this pain. And I have them breathing and connect to it. And I said, look at the sensation like it's your first time you're feeling this. What is it that you're feeling? What's the quality of it? How does it move? How does it make you feel? So to be very curious and explorative of your body sensations, your breath. We talked a lot about different things, mindfulness, yoga, theory, EFT. But also like what you talked about on a spiritual level, right? That the old spiritual paradigm was just to leave your body, you know, starve yourself, starve your body and just meditate and then leave your body, right? And that's dissociation, right? That's a disconnected state. Whereas when you look at it now, it's more about connecting to your heart. And when you connect to your heart, I can be present and I can still have all of these experiences. And it really starts from being connected to yourself, right? It doesn't start by you going out somewhere to get a mystical, fun experience, whatever that is. It really starts from connecting to yourself. So you have an anchor and then you can go and you can do anything. So that's basically the start, what I teach people when I start working with them, to, you know, what are you noticing in your body? How do you know that is what you're noticing? What's the sensation of? And they usually get pissed off with me, right? They get really mad straight away.
Yeah,
and I said, good, right? Because you're connecting to something.
Yeah.
And then I asked them a question and they talk and talk. And I said, okay, that's great. What was the answer to your question? But you just told me a bunch of stuff that I didn't understand. You didn't answer the question. Well, what does that make you feel? Not explaining why there's a sensation. What, you know, to really keep it simple. And that's really where I go, like, head to body. Yeah. And you know, things will come up as I do this, right? I said jokingly, I pissed them off, but it's clearly a deactivation. You're accessing the frustration that doesn't allow you to feel the body. So, yeah, to really be aware of body sensation, curious, and explorative, you know, like, what's the quality of what I'm feeling? What is it that I'm feeling?
Yeah. I feel, so if someone is realizing that, okay, I am dissociated, then I would start to explore the concept of grounding. Like, really start to be curious about that, because there's so many people out there working with different, I mean, you can ground in so many ways, but it's about starting to return to safety in the body. And there's millions of different tools and practices. And I mean, anything that is somatic is going to bring you back to the body. So it's about, I always say this when it comes to, I mean, I would probably work with someone if I was highly dissociated. But it's about working with someone you trust and someone who has done what you want to accomplish. So, like, someone's already done it and someone that you trust. And then it doesn't really matter who it is. It's someone who's right for you and then can guide you back to your body and to help you, exactly what Simba said, like, what is it that I'm feeling, or was it, is it that I don't want to feel? Because we, when I started to come down from the freeze, I didn't understand that it was anger. When I got angry of you, with you, I didn't understand that I was accessing anger. I just thought that you did that on purpose to be an ass. I was like, why are you keep asking me this question when you know I don't know? And I got very, very frustrated when I couldn't find the answer. That was hard for me. That was really, really hard. And I didn't have the concept of the dissociation. So I didn't understand what was happening. And that, for me, made me feel even more unsafe, because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to deal with that, because I couldn't put it into words. I couldn't put it into context. I didn't understand. So understanding and giving yourself a lot of love and compassion that might be the experience, and that it's a, like, as we showed on the curve, it's a way up, but it's also a way down. And realizing, and that's what I feel for a lot of my clients when I say, so if we go down the curve from this zone to the blues, to the green zone, what do we need to pass? Like, oh, all the red stuff. Yeah. We got to feel it on the way down and understanding that. But there's so many tools and practices. There's just so, this is growing so fast, and this is becoming, like, starting to soon become common knowledge, because it's the absolute key to healing. So, yeah. Cool. Yeah. And yeah, any final comments?
I think for me, it is a journey. It's a journey, and people are starting that journey at very different points and places, and wherever you're starting is perfect. And I think that finding support, as you were saying, is important, especially if you feel you're at that higher end of that of the curve, because what you don't want is to come out of it too quickly.
Yeah.
You go into overwhelm. You also don't want to because then you go into overwhelm, and that overwhelm sends you back up. So then you have the pattern of going back up and down. Yeah. And if you know you have a lot of trauma history, and you are aware that you have deep dissociation, definitely say work with somebody therapeutically, because you don't want to re-traumatize yourself over and over again.
Yeah.
So, and that's what can happen if you're not guided properly through the process. And if you find yourself at the other end, that you know that you can do that, that you leave yourself and so on. The gift is learning that you're going to leave yourself, but you know how to come back. And it's not that we're not going to go into dissociation. That's not the goal. The goal is, if I do, I know I am, and I can bring myself back. That's the goal. Yeah. And because there will be times when your nervous system just takes over and says, heck with you, I'm going to safety, or I'm going to protect. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be able to recognize that, know what to do, what works for you, and do it, and do it.
Yeah, because it's very individual.
Yes.
It's a very individual journey. So that's why I like the TRE training, because then it's the individual journey for a long period of time where you get to know your own nervous system and you get to work with other people and you get like a real knowledge about the nervous system together with the real experience, and then you help others to heal it. So it's for me, it's the perfect way to either heal yourself or heal yourself first and then help others. Mm-hmm. So our next TRE program starts in October with Simba, and we're going to start doing module ones. Mm-hmm. And the module ones are it's a part of the whole program, but it's the first module one. but you can do that standalone. You don't have to do the whole program. So the module one is where you learn more about the nervous system and the polyvagal curve, and like for your own sake or for your own healing, and you will learn TRE and how to do it safely on your own. So we will start doing those in Bangkok and online. So if that's a great introduction. If you feel like I'm dissociating, I want to learn more, I want to do this in a safe way for myself. As you said, I want to learn how to navigate myself. So that's a great introduction. So keep an eye out for that. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And like I said, you know, like I think to close the circle, I mean, really looking at dissociation as a gift, right? Mm.
Yeah.
To be like, thank you, you know, thank you for protecting me. Thank you for holding me safe, and just don't shame it and look away from it and start to befriend it, right? Like you talk to it almost like a friend. And that's also a way to really start to access it. And like you mentioned, you know, the TRE module one is a great way to, it's not therapeutical in that sense, but it's a great way to get a full framework, because we spent 2 days really deep diving into the nervous system through the polyvagal theory and what TRE does for you and how it works in your body, and you learn how to safely do it on your own so you can continue this practice and continue to getting to know yourself, and you can use that as a standalone practice for yourself or adjunct to other modalities if you're doing any kind of therapy work. It doesn't take anything away from other modalities. It's a very good combination and a good standalone tool.
Yeah, that's a really powerful way of doing it. So if you're interested in the applications for the TRE program is open, and you can apply for the program, see if you're a good fit, on our website livingwiththespirit.com. If you're interested in doing the module one, let us know. The dates aren't set, so maybe you can come with suggestions. Or if you're in Bangkok, let us know, and if you want to do module one. So yeah, just send us a message anywhere on our social media and we're happy to reply. And thank you for listening. Thank you, Joan, again.
You're welcome.
I love this series with you. It's amazing. Instead of us sitting here doing it alone, it's having the true professional.
Well, thank you.
It's always a gift. Yeah, we really appreciate that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I quite enjoy it as well. So thank you very much. Very much.
All right. Thank you. Have a beautiful weekend. And see you next time, whenever that is.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.